Let us pray. Loving God, you have called forth disciples and prophets to live and speak your word. Tonight, give us ears to hear, lives to respond, and voices to proclaim the good news of salvation, which we know in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight we imagine ourselves on the shores of Lake Galilee. Let us witness together the events that Luke records in his Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And I want to briefly go through the six scenes which follow. And I've given each of these six scenes a title, and each one begins with the letter C. Well, we are beside the sea, so it seemed appropriate. Firstly, in our reading, our attention is drawn to Jesus. He is the commander. That's the first C, the commander. It could have been captain, but I went with commander, because we listen here to how Jesus takes control, takes command of the situation. We hear again verses 1 to 3. One day, as Jesus was standing by Lake Galilee, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. It's a beautiful scene, if you can picture it. Jesus on the water's edge in the boat. A beautiful scene, one created out of necessity. For the crowd was so large that Jesus commandeers Simon's boat and he makes it his pulpit. And to this very day, the prow of a ship is called the pulpit, as you may know. And now the whole crowd, spread out along the shore, can listen to the word of Jesus. It was a natural amphitheatre. Jesus commands their attention. He makes the word of God accessible to all. Jesus taught the people from the shallows of the lake. And here is a symbol for me that we, as the church, as preachers, as Christians, must strive to make the word of God accessible to everyone. We all begin in the shallows, in the shallow water of the word, teaching at the edge, where unbelief meets belief, where the teachings of Jesus can lap gently at people's own experience. Jesus meets us in the shallows, at the edge of our knowledge of him and of God, and he takes us deeper. And that's just what happened next in verse 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Jesus has finished his teaching for the day, and as the crowds disperse, Jesus commands Simon to return to the water. And then comes his complaint, and that is the second letter C, the complaint, there in verse 5. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." It's a natural response from a hard-working fisherman who has labored all night with nothing to show for it and now has no energy or desire to get back fishing, especially during the daylight hours with the sun on the water and the fish not there to be caught. I wonder whether you can identify with Simon at times in your life. At times when perhaps we've complained to the Lord. When we feel that we've worked hard but have little to show for our efforts. When tiredness sets in and the call comes again and we are reluctant. But look how Simon addresses Jesus. He says, "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything." And that's significant. Jesus is the master. He is over all. He is over us. And we do his bidding. And with Simon, with God's grace, our complaint can turn to compliance. And that is our third C, the compliance. Where Simon says to Jesus, but, Jesus, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Jesus, it doesn't make sense. I can't see us catching anything. I don't know what you're thinking or why you're asking me to do this. But you are in charge. You know best. I will trust and obey. And sometimes we just have to comply. And Simon's compliance and obedience opens the door to a miracle. The catch. Our fourth C. You see, we're getting through quite quickly. When I said there were six, you probably thought we'd be here all night. But we're already there at number four, the catch. Verses 6 and 7. When they had let down the nets, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. What a wonderful surprise. And I'm sure that their joy and their laughter would have echoed around Lake Galilee as they tried to keep their balance with all these fish flapping around everywhere in the boat. What a harvest of fish. Far more than they could ever have imagined, even on a night time catch. They were overwhelmed. What a lesson. And Jesus perhaps had saved his greatest teaching lesson that day for his disciples. Jesus showed them he was the Lord. He was the Lord. The catch was all his own work. He is the Lord of creation, and those nets were filled at his command, and the fish were just hoovered up, as it were, into those nets. It speaks of Jesus's authority and the fullness of the nets tells of the fullness of God that is found in Jesus and only in Jesus. As Paul would write in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. The entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. Only Jesus could do this miracle, showing he was more than just a man. Jesus was the Son of God, who would even rise from the dead. And we remember that this miraculous catch of fish would be repeated after Jesus' resurrection, as we read in John chapter 21. What a catch. What a saviour. How did Simon respond? He responded with a confession. Our fifth C, a confession. Verses 8 onwards there. Luke says, when Simon Peter saw this, and that's interesting because there Jesus adds the name Peter. Up until then it's been Simon, but here it's when Simon Peter, that name that Jesus gave him, the rock, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Simon Peter had a boat full of fish, but a heart full of shame. And he falls at the feet of Jesus in the boat in confession. He is knee-deep in fish, not somewhere I would like to be, but knee-deep in humble confession, shrinking from the holiness of the Lord Almighty. And he begs Jesus to leave him alone in his sin. And perhaps you felt like that at time, that you're a lost cause, that Jesus, stay away. He tells Jesus to leave him alone in his sin. And it's almost like we can hear Peter echo the cry of Isaiah, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord God Almighty. But Jesus is not going to strike him down. Instead, Jesus is full of mercy and love, and he speaks a tender word of reassurance to Simon. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Simon didn't know at this point what an amazing work of cleansing and forgiveness and redemption that he would do in his life. Back in verse 2, when we began, Jesus found Simon and the others washing their nets. And that points us to the washing, the cleansing of our sins. We read in Revelation, "Blessed are those who wash their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Tonight we may feel very aware of our sin, how we are soiled, how we feel unworthy to have the living Lord Jesus near us, at work in our hearts. But tonight we can know his tender mercy and compassion, his grace and forgiveness, and his word of reassurance. Do not be afraid. Be at peace. And with that comes the commission, our sixth and final letter C, the commission. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. You will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. A full boat, a full heart, and now a full-time job for Simon Peter. Simon's life takes a new direction from this point onwards. Jesus commissions him and the others to do a very different kind of deep sea fishing. He is to help bring in a harvest of people into the kingdom of God with partners. And that's important. They would work together. And that commission would make great demands on Peter, as it makes great demands on all who say yes, on all who follow him. He and the other disciples would, yes, often find themselves in deep water. The Christian writer Edmund Banyard observes, "It was no easy calling. They were to contend with the demons that tear human beings apart. They were to proclaim the reign of God to a people under the spell of usurpers. And they were to heal the wounds that men and women inflict upon one another and upon themselves. They were to be frontline troops in a war in which in this life there is no honourable discharge." So it is with us. We have our commission, which is part of theirs. We go from here to let down our nets. And now we must leave these shores of Galilee and go to fulfill our calling. We have witnessed Jesus, the commander. Simon's complaint, and then his compliance. We've witnessed the catch. We have witnessed the confession and the commission. We thank God for his word, for his calling on our lives. May we go, follow Jesus, and continue that work of being fishers of men and women here in Haverhill. For his glory, amen.